This afternoon, we want to take time in this session to fellowship two specific things with you all. And the first one is concerning the full-time training in Anaheim. Now, we realize that probably most of you here are familiar somewhat with the training, but there may be a few that this might be the first time that this is introduced to you, and or, you know, something more at length than in a little conversation. And we are going to provide for you, that's this stack right here, a little card that has more explanation, and you can go to the website and find out much more about this. We're actually going to have four saints come and give their testimonies concerning their experience with the full-time training. And I think from this short speaking, you can pick up a little something of the value of what the training is. I hope that it has been your experience. It is your experience, whether this is your first college training or your fourth college training, that you already have a kind of sense. Training really helps.
Right.
Training really helps.
Right.
The atmosphere in a conference in a time like this, and this is as opposed to what we call conferences. You know, we have these kind of two levels of gatherings. Some are conferences, and we have that usually during the semester. But we call this a training. Why? Because in this, you are handing yourself over for a period of time to be adjusted, to be corrected, to be helped in certain specific ways. I hope it is your testimony that you already see the value of being trained.
Right.
When we have a conference, you come, you enjoy, you exercise. That's up to you. Do you memorize? Probably not. But here, everyone gets called, everyone comes up, and yeah, it's a little kind of scary, this and that, but I tell you, you gain something. You gain something by being pressed a little bit more. And so, actually, and again, I would leave it to others that you're serving ones to explain more. But you, if you've been meeting with us a month, you've heard these names, Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. And these are brothers who the Lord used. These are really ministers of the age that the Lord used, especially in the 20th century, to raise up the Lord's recovery, or to further the Lord's recovery. And both of these brothers, who are gifts to the body of Christ, both of these brothers emphasize this matter of training very, very much. Very, very much. And following that kind of pattern, we also emphasize the matter of training. Training is very important for our own personal growth, and it's important for the building of the church. In the local churches where we're from, I tell you, the saints who have given themselves to be trained, many of them are among the most useful ones. You can depend on them. You can depend on them. Because they have learned some lessons. Now, it's not a guarantee everyone goes to the training, they learn all the lessons. It really depends on your heart. It depends on you. How much you gain from the training. But anyway, all over the earth now, we have, I don't know the exact number, but I know it's at least 14. I know it's 14 for sure. And probably it's 15 or 16 training centers in all around the globe. For example, of course, we have in Anaheim, California, with the extension in Boston. It's a third year. Not all the trainings have that. Most are just 2 years. But the extension there. We have one in Mexico City. We have one in South America, in Paraguay. We have one in London, UK. We have one in Hamilton, New Zealand. We have one in Japan. We have in Indonesia. We have one in Moscow. Actually, we brothers all travel to Moscow to help teach there, usually once or twice a year. I've been doing that for about 20 years, helping with the training there. And it's very evident that training works. and training helps. You know, Brother Bill is probably the most familiar among us with the situation in Russia. But, you know, when we started working there, probably 8 years ago or 27 years ago, something like that, it was really ones that had been trained in America in our training that we sent there, plus those who were trained in Seoul, Korea, and in Taiwan. Yeah. And so it was like a young army that went there with the help of some of our older brothers and some couples, some middle-aged saints to support. But it was these saints that went and preached the gospel and labored, and we gained thousands of Russian people. Thousands of Russian people. And the church in Moscow was raised up. The church in St. Petersburg was raised up. Actually, today we have about 195 local churches in the Russian-speaking world because we had some trained ones to send. We had some trained ones to send. But the situation in Russia has changed quite a bit over the years, and also those who have gone to serve, their situations change as they get older and get married and this and that. And actually, you know, I think today we don't have one worker left from America except the saints who are taking care of the office. There's a couple from Atlanta, Georgia that's there. Everyone else has returned. But you know what? That means everyone who's handling the training, overseeing the church life, all the leading ones, all the elders, all the serving ones, are all Russian people. And the reason that that can happen today is because we set up a full-time training. And their training's 3 years. Theirs is 3 years, six semesters. And so hundreds of, actually they're not just young people. The training there, the average age is a little older than what we have in Anaheim. But saints have given themselves for 2 or 3 years to be trained. And these saints who have given themselves like this to be trained have become really like the core in so many of these churches all over the Russian-speaking world. So the Lord really has used and blessed the training there in Moscow in this way. You know, on this little brochure, it does say in the back here, I hope you could really read this. Five things are highlighted here, and you'll see this. This is the centerpiece of the training: life, truth, service, character, and the gospel. That's what really the training is for, to help us advance in these five areas. I'd like to know who has passed through at least one semester of the training. Please stand up here. Stand up. At least one semester of the training. So if you have questions after the meeting, these are the ones. Go to them and have some fellowship. Maybe you come up and have some, come up and share with us. We'll pass it over to the saints. Are we going to use those?
Two of us are going to share on how we got to the training, and the other two will share on what we've gained out of the training.
Amen.
So my name is Jason. I grew up in New Jersey, and I went to college there, and I was sent to the training by the church in Franklin. So the training to me always seemed like a mysterious place, and when I had heard about it, I thought that it wasn't for me. I thought that the training was a great place, but I wasn't qualified to go. So in college was when the first time I heard about it. So I really didn't think too much about it. So in college, I helped out a lot with the young people and on campus. And after several years, I burned myself out in the service, in my service with the Lord and the church. And I had a very miserable, lukewarm, jaded church life, Christian life. Even my experience of the Lord was very, very, it wasn't there. Something was missing. And so that was my junior year of college. And so that summer after that, going into my senior year was a national college training. And so when I went to the national college training, there was this verse that was mentioned in one of the messages, which was Revelation 3:16, which says, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spew you out." And so I realized that the Lord doesn't want us to be lukewarm for him. And so I prayed that the Lord would renew my love for him, and he would draw me to love him more, that I would be burning hot again.
Amen.
And so in my senior year of college, the Lord, he recovered me. I found the Lord again, especially through the members of the body in the church, and they just took care of me.
Amen.
And so in my senior year, I was looking for work, and I found a job. And when I found the job, the Lord just reminded me about that consecration I had, that turn I had in the college training. And there was a prayer I had prayed in that prayer, which was, "Lord, I'm not open to the training, but I'm willing for you to make me open."
Amen.
And so because the Lord reminded me of that prayer that I had prayed, I said, "Okay, Lord, I still don't want to go to the training, but I'm open to go. So you have to make the way possible for me to go."
Amen.
And long story short, the position I was offered, I talked to them, and I really feel this is from the Lord. They gave me a year to go for my first year, and then they gave me another 6 months after I asked them, and then they gave me another 6 months after I asked them. So they gave me 2 years to be in the full-time training.
Amen.
Okay, I wanted to share a couple verses with you. 2 Timothy 2:13a. "If we are faithless, he remains faithful."
Amen.
So the Lord remained faithful even when I was unfaithful to him.
Amen.
And in 2 Corinthians 5:14a, "For the love of Christ constrains us."
Amen.
And so for me, I had touched something of the Lord's love at the college training through the saints, and the Lord just gained my heart.
Amen.
So there's this hymn in our hymnal, hymn 348. It says, "Never speak of sacrifice, a privilege untold." And another hymn is that was 473. Hymn 348 says, "On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, my joy is there." And so in my transaction with the Lord, in my praying, I realized the Lord wanted to go in me to the training. And I realized that if I didn't follow the Lord, I would be missing out on a certain portion of joy in my life. And that hymn that says, "Never speak of sacrifice, a privilege untold." You know, the reason why I was able to say that 2 years of my life, okay, I could have worked for 2 years and made a pretty good amount of money because it was a job that, you know, a lot of people were looking for. And when I told my friends, they all really were happy that I got it and kind of, yeah, anyways. So I could have worked for 2 years, and my family kind of said, like, "You could have worked for 2 years, progressed 2 years in your career, made a lot of money." And you know what? I can say that was not a sacrifice.
Amen.
Because I found Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John 4:29 says, "Come see a man."
Amen.
And so when I got to the training, I found Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't have to go to the training to find Jesus Christ, but that's where the Lord took me to find him.
Amen.
So I just wanted to share one last verse. Jeremiah 31:3. "Jehovah appeared to me from afar, saying, indeed, I have loved you with an eternal love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness."
Amen.
And so, in my getting to the training, the Lord appeared to me with an eternal love. The Lord reminded me that he loved me no matter how lukewarm I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that love, the Lord just drew me.
Amen.
And so going to training was just like, I just love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go to the training. And then when it was my third term, I was thinking about going to my third term. I was like, I just love Jesus.
Amen.
And so I got there for my third term. And then for my fourth term, I was like, no way, I'm going to go to work. And then the Lord touched me again. I was just like, man, the Lord really loves me. And then so I was just like, I just love you, Lord. I'm going to go for four terms.
Amen.
So that's my testimony on how I got to the training. After the training, or after this, so in September, I'll be moving to Washington, D.C. to work.
Hi, my name is Connie, and I'm from Philadelphia. I grew up in Southern California in Cerritos, and during my college years, I came across the country to attend college in Philly, and those were the best 4 years of my life. So they were really sweet years, and I grew up as a church kid, and so I attended all the conferences and had all the serving ones and a lot of companions. And during my college years, I would also attend the college trainings, and there was always this this burden within me, or just for my college years. And I think during the national college training, there was a clear prodding from the Lord. How about the training? And so within me, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm willing to go, but I just don't know when. And you know, if you really are leading me to go, you have to work out all the details. Amen. And I just say amen, but I don't know when, but I'm willing to go. And so as the years go by, so the national college training was the summer into my junior year of college. I finished school 2 years later, and just during those 2 years, the atmosphere of the campus is very pre-professional, and it really affected me and influenced me, and so I felt like I just needed to work after finishing college, and a lot of my classmates were working, and the professors encouraged me to work, and so I told the Lord, okay, I'll work. You know, I feel like I grew up as a church kid, so I didn't really maybe face any difficulties in my growing up. You know, I had a lot of companions, a lot of serving ones, and my years during my college years were really sweet. So I had this concept that maybe, you know, I should just go face some real-life adult problems in the real world by working. And then 2 years tops, Lord, and then I'll come back running back to you to go do the training. And so that was my concept, and that's what I settled for upon graduating. So I began networking. I signed a house to live with some sisters, and just that last summer, so I graduated a year ago, and that summer after graduating, I had to take an exam, a licensing exam, to even apply for jobs. And just through that exam, the Lord really stripped me. He didn't let me pass that exam, and I was just really stripped, and I would say even maybe a little bit salty to the Lord. I was like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, if this is your way of leading me to the training, you have to be very clear to me and speak a direct word to me. I'm not going to go to the training just as a backup plan, you know, because I failed. I'm here. That's just my backup plan. I'm going to the training, but you need to speak a direct word to me. Amen. And so, by the Lord's mercy, a few weeks later, as I was studying to retake the exam, the Lord just kind of prodded me. Why do you think that in order for you to enjoy me in the training, you need to suffer first, face negative experiences first in order to enjoy me? I am a God full of riches, a storehouse of supply. Why do you feel like you're belittling me in the sense that you, in order for you to enjoy me in the training, you need to experience the real world in order to gain me in the training first, or in order to gain me in the training? And so I just had to go and confess and repent to the Lord. You're right. I don't even know you. Here I am being self-righteous, thinking I'm a church kid not needing to go to the training. But I clearly don't know you, thinking that this is the only way for me to enjoy you is by facing negative situations first. And so I just had to confess, Lord, I don't know you. And he said, well, you know exactly where you need to go in order to know me. And so that was the fastest application I've ever worked on before the deadline. And by the Lord's mercy, I'm in the training, and I've just finished my first year of the training. And I would say, I'm so happy that the Lord didn't let me win. Amen. And I feel like that's been a continual prayer during my time in the training. It's like, Lord, don't let me win. Don't let my emotions win. Yeah. Don't let my mind win. Mm-hmm. And don't even let my will win. And so, the verse that really spoke to me when the Lord was convicting me was Ephesians 3:8, which ironically was a college training memory verse 2 years ago. And it said, the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. And so he said, here I am, a Christ full of unsearchable riches. So I have so much for you to tap into and enjoy. So I just feel like just in my 1 year in the training, our Christ is so full of riches.
Amen.
And he just wants us to tap into.
Amen.
And like Jason said, it really is a privilege untold. I came in thinking I'm sacrificing my career and my job and my future. But the longer I'm in the training, the happier I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is really the best place on earth in Anaheim.
Yeah.
It's not Disneyland. It's Anaheim, the full-time training. And so I'm so happy. There's still one more year. And amen. Just keep yourself open.
Amen.
I grew up in New York City, and I graduated the training a year ago, last summer, 2017. And so I'll share with you all a little bit about my experience being in the training for 2 years. This week we've been hearing a lot about exercising our spirit, right? And it's a muscle. And I feel like that's definitely my experience in the training. I learned how to exercise my spirit muscle. I learned how to pray, endurance, long prayers. But I also learned how to touch the Lord in a real way. That experience definitely started in the college training, where I really first touched the Lord. And then he led me to come to the training to learn how to touch him every day in a deeper way. I feel like every day you're in the training, there's unlimited opportunities to talk to the Lord, to learn his voice, to learn how to discern if he's telling you to do something or not do something. And I tried to grasp all the opportunities I could. There's multiple times set during the day to pray. And I feel like I learned how to open myself to the Lord, how to open parts of my being that I didn't want to open. And I feel like my experience was definitely Hymn 437, like was shared last night. He captivated me by his beauty. And this morning in the message, when the brothers were and all of us were sharing about being broken and like the cleaver example, it kind of jarred me a little bit. I don't know if it jarred you guys. But in my experience, that is not, when the Lord is dealing with something in your heart, it's a very, very sweet experience. And this was really my experience in the training. The Lord came to me, maybe knocking on something, touching on something that didn't match him in my being, but then he came with a flow of love and a flow of supply.
Amen.
And it was just so sweet learning how to talk to my Lord and learning how to allow him into every part of my being. But another huge thing I learned in the training is that we're not running this race alone.
Amen.
There are more than 300 other crazy lovers of Jesus going through the same experiences with you.
Amen.
So in my first year, there was a particular experience I was going through. I was trying to find out what the Lord was speaking to me, and I couldn't find him. And I had spoken with one of the sisters in my house about it the night before, but the day after, I was still in my mind, swirling, just like, I don't know what the answer is. And the sister found me on campus. She must have seen something in my face. And she just said, let's pray. And we walked around our campus. And we didn't pray about my situation, but we prayed to turn to our spirit.
Amen.
And I learned that sometimes you're in a ditch and you can't get out of it by yourself. But there are saints all around you. And so I've been out of the training for a year. And that experience in the training has helped me in my church life. Because when I realize I'm in a place where I can't get out of myself, I can't get out of my mind, I go to the saints. You go to the meeting. I force myself out because I realized in the training I can't do it by myself. You need the other saints to bring you on. And so I wouldn't trade the experience for the world. And it was the best 2 years of my life, and now I'm still learning how to touch the Lord. I didn't come out of the training in my spirit every day, but I learned a little bit more what his voice sounds like.
Amen.
How to find him, and a little bit of the red flags, like, oh, I didn't pray. That's why I'm losing my temper. I didn't touch the Lord this morning. Anyway, and so we're all still learning, but I really appreciated in the training I could learn how to run with others, how to find the Lord.
Amen. My name is Andrew, and I'm married. My wife is not here. She's in Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia. She started work a couple of days ago. So I went through FTTA as well as the third-year extension in Boston. So if you have any questions about that, I can talk to you about that later. And I did not grow up in the church life. I came into the church life in college. But when I found out about the training, I really wanted to go. So, I wanted to share with you a little bit of my experience. And one thing I wanted to say is that everyone's training is different. Sometimes when we think about the training, it just seems like everyone goes through and then they all become these robots that all look the same and do the same things. But actually, the Lord has a personal training for each one of us. And it is deeply personal. And he has his arrangements for us. So one of the main things that happened to me in the training is that I got simplified.
Amen.
So when I went to the training, I had a lot of forms, a lot of ways that I would do things, you know, whether it's morning revival, whether it's the way I would read the Bible, the way I read the ministry, et cetera, et cetera. I had, you know, a certain way to do everything. But when I was in the training, I realized if I do all of these things without contacting the Lord, they're all vain. It's meaningless. And so eventually, my whole training just became about being with Jesus. And in the training in Anaheim, you have so many different kinds of activities, whether, you know, it's morning revival, the classes, speaking, coordinating with groups, serving together, going out on the gospel together, so many different things. But each of these activities is for one purpose, to gain Christ. Amen. And I remember, one of the things that we do in the training is as soon as you rise up, you go to your door, everyone goes to their doorway, and you call on the Lord together. And I remember times where, you know, I would do that just as a form. Just, you know, you're calling on the Lord, but you're thinking about something else. But eventually, that changed.
Amen.
And I realized I am calling on Jesus,
amen,
right? We're spending time with the Lord.
Amen.
So this was a real simplifying to me, that no matter what kind of different activities we're going through, we should be in our spirit with the Lord.
Amen.
And they say that to go through the training is like going through 20 years in the church life. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know yet. But I will say that in the training, the Lord does an intensified work in us. And through that work, there is also intensified grace.
Amen.
So like someone said earlier, FTTA is the happiest place on earth.
Amen.
My experience in the training is that grace was flowing.
Amen.
There's a hymn that says, "Mercy now is flowing. Oh, the grace."
Amen.
And that was my experience in FTTA.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the full-time training. I went to the training from 2005 to 2007. And I agree with all the saints who shared. It was the best decision that I could ever make in my life up to that point. The training is a very special place. And I think many of us, we have certain concepts. I surely did myself. But when you realize what the Lord is doing, then you realize, like the saints shared, it's not a sacrifice. Actually, that was my attitude when I went to the training. I thought, oh, I wanted to do this for the Lord, so that even I had this thought so that I could be useful, I could come back, and I could do something for him. But in those 2 years, I realized, actually, this is not me doing a favor for God. It's God doing a favor for me. This is the Lord working himself into me. In the same way that David, he had a heart to build God's temple, his building, but actually Jehovah spoke to him. He's going to build himself into you. Amen. And so, anyways, we do want to fellowship, of course, for those who you do have a heart, a desire, a consideration, how to prepare yourself to go to the full-time training. I think number one is you really want to consecrate this matter to the Lord. Spend some time personally and just give it to him. Not everybody's path to the training is the same. Some of you might face certain opposition, whether it's through your family, the ones around you. Different things will come up. But I would say, if this is where the Lord wants you to be, he will bring you there. And, you know, when you're sitting there, you know, the first couple weeks, all the first-termers share their testimony on how they got to the training. It's just amazing. The length, the path, how the Lord led each and every one. And everyone's experience is different. It's quite something. And so give this matter to the Lord. Spend some time. That's what I did in my college years when the Lord started to touch me regarding this point. I started just praying it back to the Lord, and he brought me there. Secondly, is open this up for fellowship. It's good, as early as possible, even if you have some sort of inkling, you have some feeling, bring it up. Bring it up to the leading brothers. Bring it up to your companions. Pray together. You don't want to wait until, you know, the summer of your senior year, like, oh, Brother David, I want to go to the training. And he's going to be like, what? Well, I mean, I think there'll be a lot of fellowship. But still, it's just good that to stay in this process of fellowship. And the saints, of course, who went, they could also be of great help. The third thing is, you know, if you go to the website, and I think we'll pass this out, ftta.org, there is a link. Actually, it says how to prepare. And there, there are actually some requirements. Number one, we need to finish our Bible at least once, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So I would say if you have a heart to go to the training, you better be reading your Bible. Get on a schedule. I don't know if, you know, if you're a freshman, you have 4 years. If you're a senior and you're somewhere in Numbers, you better start catching up. You know, we want to enter into the training with a certain deposit, right? And so that when the Lord is speaking, actually, like, you know, all that's been shared this week, you know, he could, this reminding spirit could pull things out and speak rhema words to you. Don't wait. You know, I was once a college student. We are all the same. We like to procrastinate. We like to even, oh, I'm going to go to the training. I'm going to fill out an application. And then you haven't finished your Bible. So you use 1 month to try to read the entire Bible. Sure, you completed it, but it's just different, right? You just, I think you understand. So finish the Bible. There are 11 ministry books also that are recommended on that website. And it would just be good for you to also finish some of those titles. If you could do all of it, that is great. And then the final thing is you want to be active in the church life, to serve, to be in the meetings, right? You know, if I have a desire to go to training and I'm not in any of the meetings of the church, and by the way, for you to go, you need to go through an application process. You need to sit down with one of the leading brothers for an interview. And so imagine, you know, I've been to none of the meetings, and I go to Brother Dennis. Oh, Brother Dennis, I like to go to training. He's, who are you? Where have you been, right? So we want to be in the church life, right? And I'll finish with this one point. Sometimes we have the concept, I am going to wait until the training, until dot, 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 dot. Don't do that, right? I'm going to wait until the training until I figure out how to preach the gospel. No! Preach the gospel in your college years. I'm going to wait until the training until I start reading ministry books. No! Right? We could get started now, right? And so that when you go to the training, you could have a good start, and the Lord will take it from there, okay? So I think we'll stop with this portion of the special fellowship, and Brother Ennis is going to share the next particular topic.
We're going to have a little bit of fellowship about the 2019 North America Summer College Training. As some have mentioned, in 2015, we had our first national college training in Champaign-Urbana, and I think we had 1,800 college students there for that weekend. And so the first thing we want to do is play a little 10-minute video of that college training. And then I'm just going to say a few words, and we have information cards for everyone. Now, if you're on this edge, yeah, move in or stand to the back a little bit. You may not be able to see the screen well without moving down a little bit. This video is a YouTube video, so you can finish it. It's about 15 minutes altogether. So we're just going to play the first 10 minutes or so, the first segment, but you could finish it, you know, on your own at home. It's a YouTube video. It's up on the web, so you can see it. So let's watch the video, and then I'll say a few words after that.
From July 13th through 19th, 2015, college students gathered in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois for a historic event, the 2015 National College Training. 400 serving saints joined more than 1,300 college students and high school seniors for a joyous week under the divine dispenser. Students came from 325 campuses in 34 different countries, representing all six inhabited continents. The summer college training began in 1991 in Southern California. By 2014, there were annual college trainings in California, Illinois, and Georgia, with a combined attendance of 800 students. This year, the 25th anniversary of the first college training saw the realization of a long-held burden: to gather the students from across the country into one training. Each training day began at 6:30 a.m. and concluded at 10:45 p.m. The students stayed in campus dorms and ate meals at the university dining hall. In the mornings, students spent time alone with the Lord and heard messages on morning revival, the Spirit, and the gospel. They also were quizzed on memory verses. After lunch, students spent time studying or recreating. Then, after an hour of rest, the saints gathered in small groups in their dorms to pray, read, and fellowship over the messages. Following the group session, students spent additional time to pray and fellowship with one or two companions. These times of blending and spiritual exercise were a highlight for many students. Dinner was followed by evening messages on God's age turners, and the students ended the day with group and companion prayer before the lights went out. One thing was clear to the students from the very first meeting: this training could be a landmark time in their Christian lives.
In the life of every Christian, there should be a few experiences that are landmarks. We're praying that this week would be a week that will change your life. That's our prayer for this week. May this be a change, marking a turning point in your life, in your Christian life, in your church life, and in your life of serving the Lord.
A month of corporate prayer offered by both the students and churches created a positive atmosphere. Students came with exercise spirits. Singing, prayer, and fellowship were common during walks to and from meetings, during meal times, and in the dorms. Eager students lined up an hour before the scheduled meeting times to get front row seats and to fill the auditorium with rapturous singing. The students especially enjoyed two new songs that were written for the National College Training.
Thank you.
purpose of the college training is to provide an atmosphere for college students to see the heavenly vision, to be equipped with the truth, to be helped in their experience of life, and to be perfected in preaching the gospel. To that end, four lines of fellowship were presented during this year's training. The first line on morning revival helped the students cultivate a personal, loving relationship with the Lord. The second line of fellowship focused on the experience of life by knowing the essential and economical aspects of the Spirit. The third line highlighted the preaching of the gospel on the college campuses. The evening line, which also served as the theme of this year's training, was entitled God's Age Turners. These messages examined the lives and characteristics of the Old and New Testament saints whom God used to change the age. Here are some highlights from the week.
We have to inherit the godly ways of the forefathers. Noah, it tells us, walked with God. How did Noah walk with God? His great-grandfather Enoch walked with God and was taken. He must have learned something from that previous generation. Something precious was passed to him through his parents, through his grandparents. A heritage, a rich heritage was handed down from generation to generation.
Whether or not God will find a way in this generation depends on whether or not there are absolute people in this generation. Are there any absolute people in this generation?
There's a joy. There's a peace in giving yourself to the Lord of the universe. Giving yourself into his hands. Dear young people, you can play a great role in this. To prepare for the Lord a people made ready. Go to your campuses. Go to your campuses as John and separate people unto God. Make a highway for God.
When asked to share their highlights from the week, the college students had a lot to say.
We have the essential spirit in us. We also have the economical spirit on us. We have both the spirit in us as life and the spirit on us as power. We just need to claim it. Hallelujah.
We need to learn to inherit the godly ways of our forefathers. And this, in a practical way, means to discover how to pray read, how to call in the name of the Lord in a really deep way to exercise our spirit. This is how God gains his age terms.
I've been enjoying from the National College Training that all scripture is God-breathed and that God speaks Bible. So if we want to have a deeper prayer with the Lord, if we want to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with him, we need to read his word and we need to pray it back to him.
You yourself also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
I really enjoyed the message over comrades because we need to have spiritual companions so we can strengthen each other up and be with and just open ourselves to and help preach the gospel.
To be an age trainer, we need to be those who take the godly ways of our forefathers, taking Adam's way of salvation, Abel's way of offering, Enoch's way of calling on the name of the Lord, Enoch's way of working with God, and receiving the blessing and revelation of working with God.
We have to know God in the Word. We have to breathe God in through the Word. We have to be filled with the Word so that when we go out and we speak to others, we have a content, we have a handle, we have something to speak to others of God.
Lo que he disfrutado en este entrenamiento nacional de universitarios ese tiempo personal que he tenido con el Señor, lo he disfrutado muchísimo. Este tiempo ha sido uno de los mejores días de mi vida, si no ha sido el mejor.
Amen. I enjoyed the matter of consecration at the college training. I enjoyed that when we consecrate our whole lives to the Lord will honor our consecration and he will remember even if we forget.
Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your warfare, in the splendor of their consecration. Your young men will be to you like the dew from the womb of the dawn. Psalms 110, verse 3. One overarching burden during the training was that the college students would consecrate themselves wholly and unreservedly to the Lord. This burden grew stronger with each brother speaking and reached a climax during the Friday night message on consecration.
Tonight will be a special meeting. When I was walking up from downstairs to this room, a verse came to me, and I believe it is from the Lord. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God. So I betroth you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Tonight, I'm exceedingly burdened after this wonderful week to present you a pure virgin to Christ. Virgins to one husband. And I do this filled with the jealousy of God.
Following the sharing, the brothers called the students to publicly consecrate themselves to the Lord. The response was overwhelming. Lines of students, waiting to offer a public prayer of consecration, stretched around the room, out the rear doors, and into the hallways. After 99 students prayed, time ran out, and 12 brothers rose to pray over the consecrations that had been made.
Well, I think you get a little taste of the atmosphere of this National College training. I can testify that I have never been in such an event in my entire life, and that it changed my life, and I'm not a college student. But I do want to mention this. Of course, the spirit is very high in this kind of an event, and it was mentioned in the video because the churches were praying for one solid month before this college training. So there was quite an atmosphere, and every heart was more open, I think, than, you know, normal. But the effect of the college training to those of us who are serving on the campuses was that the college work just took a big jump up, and the students took over on the campuses more than they had been in the past. And these last few years since that time, I think the blessing on all the campuses has been far above what we have seen before that time. Would you agree, brothers?
Absolutely.
It's just tremendous. I know where I am in New York, the campus work just took off. And, we didn't have any more serving ones. We had the same number, but the students really rose up to bear the burden on the campus and preach the gospel on the campus, and we had many more new ones on the campuses. Now, the brothers who have been involved in this training had the feeling right after that National College training, we should do this every 4 years so that every college student, at least once in their college career, could experience this kind of a college training. And, of course, this is not just called the National College Training. Now it's titled the 2019 North America College Training. We're including Canada and Mexico in this college training. There still will be international students from all over the world, but there will be a quota. So we have beds for 2,800 students. We had 1,800 here. We have beds for 2,800 students. So make your reservation now. Don't let it run out, you know, that we don't get a space. Because whatever we don't take in North America, we will offer to the saints overseas. So we have flyers here. They give us some more details. The dates are July 14th through 20th, 2019 in Champaign, Illinois. The cost of the college training will be $395. So what we would like to do is encourage you, if you will save $12.50 a week. I think that's the number. Something like that. $25 a month. Is that what it was? $25 a month. then you will have enough money to pay for the training. So plan ahead, not just your time and your schedule. Plan ahead financially to make sure you have enough, you know, to take care of the college training. And registration will open January 1st. So, you know, at the end of this coming semester, you can start to register at the winter break. And we need to pray for the divine flame to spread throughout all the campuses in North America.
Amen.
And we need to plan ahead to join this special event, which occurs only once every 4 years. And at last, it does say, manage your finances wisely. To save up and come.
Amen.
And then it's collegetraining.org/2019, all the information related to the college training. Actually, my understanding is, you know, the room you saw there, we packed that room out.
Right.
I think only 1,400 or something would fit.
Yeah.
And we had to have an overflow room. So if you, you know, if you were there, those of us who were there, you had to take one meeting in the overflow room. Well, the place we're getting will hold more than 2,800. So we can all be in the evening meeting together. For the smaller breakout sessions, we probably will have smaller venues because those of us who are there realize that for many sessions, it's better to be 300 or 400 together and more opportunity to function, to testify, and to, you know, fellowship. And so, anyway, pray very much for this college training. For the North America, 2019 North America College Training. We don't know exactly what the topic might be, but Menorah said during this semi-annual, could be on the Jubilee. Oh, that would be something. Could be on the Jubilee. So we want to take these. Do you want them just to come and get them, Andrew? These are for the full-time training, or do we want to pass them out? Brothers, why don't you do this? Let's pass these out because otherwise everybody's going to run up here and we'll do this. Yeah. And then take half of these. And brothers, come on up and help with these. All right, so once you get your card, then we can be dismissed for... Oh, wait a minute. We got service announcement. Please be quiet.